Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Hey friends, welcome back to Explain the Prophetic. If you've never been with us, then welcome. I'm Sean Bowles, and I want to thank you, obviously, for joining me today. I know you can spend time anywhere, so spending time here, I think, is going to be really deep and speak to the heart of many of you, especially those of you who have high capacity, you're running at full speed, you're carrying deep spiritual weight in your career or with your family and your mandate, your mission, whatever it is, and you're wondering maybe why things feel a little fuzzy or even disconnected. Today, we're going to dive into something crucial. It's the prophetic power of rest. Yes, this four-letter word rest, it's not a bad word, but it's actually one of the superpowers of Christians. And that word we so often associate with slowing down or even with sometimes weakness to rest. I mean, especially if you're in the Western world, especially if you're in North America, we rest the least of everyone else in the world when it comes to our families. But what if I told you that rest is actually one of God's most powerful strategies for recharging your spiritual life and igniting fresh clarity? That's just the truth. And I love what Christine Kane says. If you've never heard of her, she has an incredible ministry against anti-human trafficking. So to rest in God is to trust Him more than your plans, your effort, or your timeline. And that's just so true. When you rest in Him, you trust that He's working so much harder than you are, especially if you take a Sabbath or if you take time off or if you take a different rhythm of life to not work so hard, but to allow Him to work even harder than you're working. So before we jump in, though, I want to encourage you to subscribe to the podcast or follow us on YouTube so you don't miss any future prophetic conversations. Also, if you want to consider donating or sowing to our ministry or into this word by going to bowlesministries.com/give, that helps us so much to reach all the people we're called to reach. So without any further ado, let's talk about this. What happens when your spiritual engine is running on fumes? And this happens to so many people. My wife and I led for years, I think over 10 years, 11 years, young leaders, emerging leaders kind of pastoral gathering. We would host these guys for a retreat in Los Angeles, California. And we'd have powerful conversations. And one of the conversations we had with a dozen or so, felt like every year, but a dozen or so overall, is people were on the verge of breakout, and some did or break down and just kind of burnout. And some did burn out to the point where they didn't go back in the ministry in the same way that they had come out. And a lot of this was because there was a wrong identity in what it is to work with God. And also there's a wrong identity sometimes in the rhythm of working with God that we don't rest, that we get addicted to the work. We become spiritual workaholics. I've seen so many people do it. So if these pastors were doing it, they had all kinds of support around them. They had all kinds of people in their lives. If they were doing it, then the average person who's in the church, it's so easy to get addicted to your spiritual mission or your career or even just the drama of life to the point where you don't have a reset button, a rest button, and you don't allow God to work the way He wants to work. And so this episode is especially for high capacity people. If you're a leader, if you're a creative, if you're a business builder, if you're a prophetic voice, a mom or a dad, a pastor, anyone who's been carrying a lot of weight, trying to stay connected to God's voice in the middle of all that weight. And here's a reality. You can't hear clearly from God when you're constantly running on empty. And if you're feeling dull or if you're feeling foggy or overwhelmed or spiritually dry, it might not be an attack. It might be a lack of rest. You happen to have those time in between times for God to work or for God to process things in your spirit. And even the way maybe you're praying in your devotional times sometimes doesn't allow for rest because we do all the second commandment prayer list. We do all the things we have to pray for, and we never just be with God. We never just take that time to just have intimacy with who Jesus is and let His presence rest on us. His presence is doing more than we ever could anyways, but sometimes we lose sight of that, especially the more mature we get. Sometimes we get more opportunities. We have more pressures. We have more responsibilities, all these things. And so sometimes we allow those things to disconnect us from letting God be God. And that happens to some of the most powerful people in the world. I've talked to leaders of every type of stature and every kind of industry, I feel like, and many of them identified burnout because of a lack of rest. They didn't have a rhythm of rest set in their life. But there's a few scriptures that make it really clear. And one of them is Isaiah 30, verse 15. It says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust your strength." And that's such a profound promise. It's not just your hustle or in your planning or in your managing or that salvation shows up. It's actually in your rest and in your trust. That's something that we don't always think about. And some of you need to pause right there. Maybe this is your hashtag my turn part of the word where you hashtag my turn because you want us to pray for you, or you just want to acknowledge that this is part of your word if you're joining us on YouTube or Facebook. But God's presence and rest are directly tied together. And in Exodus 33, verse 14, God says, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Now, we often don't think about that. When we think about times of anointing or empowerment from God, we don't think about it having us do less activity. We think about we have to do more activity, when in reality, so many people, before they enter into the best season of activity in their life, go into a wilderness where they're doing the opposite of what they thought they'd do, or they're doing something that's much less, or they're not doing anything at all. And if you want more of God's presence, you've got to make space for his pace. And the soul was not made for hurry. Rest is the oxygen of spiritual growth, says John Ortberg. And I think that's so cool. Rest is the oxygen of spiritual growth. We can't forget Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Notice, he makes us lie down. Why? Because he knows I'm not going to slow down. He knows restoration requires a surrender, a level of surrender that in our humanity, we just don't want to do in our normalness. We don't want to be like, okay, I'll take a day and do something that's so opposite of my mission, so opposite of what, you know, drives me. We might like have a hobby or a passion. We might take a little time for that. But true rest takes more than just a hobby type commitment. You know, think about Elijah in 1 Kings 19. After calling down fire and seeing one of the biggest prophetic victories of his life, Elijah crashes, totally crashes. He's exhausted. He's afraid. He's in hiding in a cave asking God to take his life. And that's how serious it got. And what does God do? He doesn't give him a new word first. He sends an angel with food. Then he says, rest, take a nap, you know, sleep. He repeats that process a few times. In comes the still small voice of God. And even Jesus, who had the spirit without measure, took time to withdraw to these lonely places, which another word for lonely places in Luke 5:16 is actually a place for rest. It's a place to be away from others, to be away from the normal, to be away from the grind maybe. And he didn't do that because he was weak. He did it because he was wise. He knew that if he had solitude, if he had silence and he had time to rest, you know, some of it get recalibrated inside of him to be able to be connected with the Father even more. And how much more do we need that? How much more do we need to follow that example? And there's so many, you know, modern examples of culture, but our culture breeds exhaustion, you know, even through our media, through the level of things that we just know about, the level of things that just hit us. I mean, people are so media fatigued. People are so news fatigued. People are so drama fatigued. And in our culture, running empty looks like the entrepreneur working 14-hour days to build something for God, but then burning out, you know, physically and spiritually, or the single mom trying to hold the family together at all costs, feeling like God has gone quiet because she can't make space for him because everything's so busy. The pastor or the prophet giving constantly, always pouring out into others, but never stopping to receive. I mean, some of the pastors I've talked to say, I don't hear God for myself. I've talked to prophetic people who are like, I never hear God for myself. That's not healthy. That's not normal. You're actually supposed to be the most powerful voice of God in your whole life through how you read the Bible and how you receive from his spirit, because he so loves you and he wants relationship with you. So when someone removes themselves from that equation, it's kind of scary. It means that there's a place of disconnect that we actually want to see connected. And the digital creator might be scrolling themselves in a numbness instead of stillness. And I see a lot of digital creators who are burned out because the hustle and the grind of making content every day or three times a week. It's a grind. It's a hard grind to come up with new content or reactive content, whether it's, you know, for a food channel or whether it's through like a social commentary channel, whatever it is. It's a grind. And I've seen people burn out so much. And when you're running on empty, it shows up as cynicism, and it shows up in so many other ways, like confusion. It shows up in like comparison to others and why aren't things working out? And often self-doubt disguised as humility. It looks like humility, but it's actually you not believing in what God's put inside of you anymore. And you start to believe the lie that maybe you're not hearing from God anymore. But the truth is, you're likely just exhausted, and that part of you can't receive, that part of you can't hear. I mean, can you imagine, you know this if you're married, if you work, and then you haven't had a date night for like 5 weeks or 6 weeks, and you go back to have a date night or a date time with your spouse, and you look at each other awkwardly over the table like, okay, we got to sync up because now there's probably some things to talk about that might be conflicts at school with our kids, or there might be some things that are going on in our lives. I haven't been able to be online with you to process daily stuff. And so it's awkward because you're not in a rhythm of it. So it actually creates almost a feeling of like how disconnected you are to go out on that date again. By the third or fourth one, again, if you go 3 or 4 weeks in a row, or 3 or 4, you know, over 5 weeks, you're back into the rhythm again. But the reality is that rest is God's reset button. Without it, even the most gifted lose their edge. That's Tim Keller, not me. I love that statement. Even the most gifted lose their edge when there's no rest. And I'm going to encourage you today. Your next breakthrough you're waiting on might not come through more effort, and might come through intentional rest. And rest doesn't mean being completely inactive. It means being connected and doing something differently than you've ever done before. And remember, you know, for us, we have sent missionaries all around the world, and some of our missionaries have gone to places like war zones and red light districts and places that not everybody sends missionaries. And I remember at one point we had some of them come back from traumatized from and even having PTSD from some of the things that they'd seen, but still wanting to go back. They were still, I mean, one had malaria so many times that the doctors like, you can't go back yet. And we would have to tell them like, hey, we want to help you in this. We want to help you guard your boundaries and live a better life. This is not healthy the way that you're wanting to go. Like this being compelled by love for people is sometimes driving you away from loving yourself and loving your life and loving, you know, loving what God's built inside of you as well, because your boundaries are off. And so we'd have to like get them back and over them rest. So we started asking them to go to therapy. We pay for it as a church ministry when I was pastoring my church. And as we were paying for them, one of the trauma specialists, I asked her like, how do people rest best when they have trauma in their life? And when you think about high capacity people, like some of your very high capacity people who are watching this, you get traumatized by the dramas, the accusations, the theft, the bad employee situations, the bad church member situations, whatever it is, you know, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a leader in something, or whether you're just somebody who's doing entrepreneurship, or whether you're a mom, whatever it is, there's trauma in it. And so I asked her, how do people rest best from trauma? She said, you know, one of the things that people do that's best is they go out of the environment of what's normal, their normal hobbies, talents, their normal work, everything else, and they put themselves into a new environment, even 24 hours, 7 days, 2 weeks. And if you're doing it as a regular rest, to do something like go outside of your city and what you would normally, your coffee shop you normally go to, a restaurant you normally go to, a grocery store you normally go to, and go somewhere else to where you have to reset your capacity. You have to reset what you're used to. And it actually causes a part of your brain, the same part of the brain that sometimes processes trauma or is numb, it causes it to fire off the neurons again in a different way. And where those neurons fire off, you could set up new neural pathways. And that's a very simplistic version of what she was saying. But what was amazing to me is that she was basically saying, if we don't have rest, our mind won't fire the right way and our mind will get numb and clouded physically. And so when you add the spiritual dynamic to it, you can understand why some of you might be in a place because you haven't rested, why there's confusion or a lack of clarity or fuzziness for these things, these words I mentioned before. Rest isn't laziness, it's prophetic alignment. That's just reality. And when we rest, we're declaring with our very lifeblood, God, you're my source. I trust you enough to stop striving. I trust that you'll work more than me on the things that I'm passionate about because they're yours, not mine. And it's an ultimate place of surrender to rest, because rest gives God tons of space to whisper and for our spirit space to listen, and rest creates an internal bandwidth to discern what's real and what's not just noise. And Hebrews 4 says, let us make every effort to enter into rest. I mean, let us make every effort to enter into rest. Who follows that command? You know, the writer of Hebrews, whether it's Paul or someone else, he's saying, you have to make this effort. Are you making effort? That's a big question. Like, it's summertime for a lot of us here in the North American world. I know there's people who watch this from all over the world. And I've talked to many friends this summer, and so many people are busy. And I'm like, what are you doing for vacation? What are you doing to rest as a family? What are you doing to connect? And I've been sadly disappointed. When I say I'm not disappointed in my friends themselves, but in their choices to not rest. They're like, oh, we have a weekend here with family, a weekend here with family. And there's no real place of stewardship of rest, which you can't reset. You can't get into that algorithm that you need to get into. And rest isn't a contradiction. Rest is the reality, the living in the world that constantly pushes us to strive. And we press pause on that, and we press play on God's good news. And here's some of the good news. God wants to restore you in rest so you can reignite your spiritual fire. That's just reality. He wants to actually activate this inside of you so that it becomes part of your value system. Maybe you have a value system for communication. Maybe you have a value system for integrity, all these things. Is rest in your top 10? Because biblically, when you follow out how the scripture places rest as a value, especially because it detaches us from our ego, where we let God work more than we do, then there's a place inside of you that might just identify something that you're not hearing, because you are now entering into that new rhythm again, where you're like, oh, wait, I thought my ears were closed. I thought maybe God wasn't speaking. I thought maybe I was at a place where like there's a quiet season between me and God, but it's actually just because you haven't been in a place of rest where he can speak to you. So here's my challenge for you this week. I hope you'll take it. You know, what would intentional rest look like for you? I want you to answer that question. And maybe it's a media break, or it's taking some time to Sabbath this weekend, or, you know, where there's no emails and there's no phone calls to anything that's takes energy, you know, just God and peace. Maybe it's stepping away from draining obligations so you can protect your yes, you know, the things that you're saying yes to. And maybe it's a walking without your phone and just talking to Jesus for an hour or two or more. Do one thing this week that honors the invitation to rest. And if you're brave, do one thing every day that honors the invitation to rest, because rest is how anointed people reset. And some of you are about to have a great reset. You're going to realize God was hovering all around you, and he just needed you to create the space that wasn't you striving, but was you releasing and letting go so he could do what he does. So let me pray for you. I think it's an important time to pray. God, I do. I pray for everyone who's watching, everyone who's listening, who's weary, for those who feel dry or overextended or unclear. God, I pray for divine rest to come. Not just physical rest. Of course, we love that too. But rest from in our mind, a rest in our emotions, rest in our spirits. Would you remind us that you are our source, you are our strength, you are our strategy. You work far more than we do. And when we honor a Sabbath weekly, it gives us time to let you go to work for us on that one day and see what you'll do in one day that we couldn't do in all the other 6 days that we worked and we hustled and we did all the family grind and everything else that we can reset. Help us, God, make space for you daily. Lord, help us to make space for you to hear again, where it's not just about telling you what we need or telling what other people need, but where we just say, God, here I am. What's on your heart? And Lord, help us to see again, help our vision to be fresh, whether it's vision for life, whether it's our spiritual vision to be able to see things in your spirit and your heart, and help us to be restored again. Maybe there's some emotions or cynicism or some of those words I used earlier in this message where you're comparison these things, where maybe you're there in your heart. And I pray that God would let you get restored as you rest and reset again. Maybe you've heard so much drama and you haven't rested from it, and you've just been going down the YouTube channels of drama of someone's life. Or it could be, you know, there's the, well, I talked about it this week on Sean Bolshow, the CEO of the company that gets caught at the Coldplay, you know, concert. Maybe it's something way more real than that. Maybe it's something politically or in a church or something else or with the ministry, and you're just exhausted. Well, let God rest you. Holy Spirit, let us be able to focus on you again, whatever's pure, right, good, noble, and holy, God, and give us fresh perspective. So when we've looked at those things, we can see them through your eyes, not just through our truth, but through your truth, God, through the biblical truth of who you are. And I just want to encourage you that God's going to maybe even showing you right now as I'm praying for you, he's showing you how to realign. And some of you, it's not a quick or it's not a far jump to realign. It's not a far pacing to realign. But some of you, it's been a long time since you've given yourself permission to be quiet with God or to be alone or to be, you know, have a real rest on a Sunday or to have a real time of vacation or to have a real time of set apartness. And I want to encourage you that, you know, if Jesus hibernated here and there, and if he honored the Sabbath, you know, and if he was a man of deep rest and connection with the Father, that's who we are too. So I'm going to encourage you to let God show you how to do that for your life. And it's different for all of us. No one can give you their rest model, just like I can't give you how I read the Bible and how I pray and what time I do it and for how long I do it doesn't apply to you. It may inspire you, it may not inspire you, but how you do your life in God is what's important, is that you are justified by your own faith. And so let God give you a rhythm of rest, and it's going to create a reset where you're really going to hear him again. I believe this is one of the keys in this next season to hearing God that's going to change everything. So don't forget, if this podcast has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting us at donate.bowlsministries.com or bowlsministries.com/give. Every gift, big or small, helps us to reach more people with prophetic content that builds up the church around the world. And until next time, rest well, keep listening, for his voice is near you. His voice is just right there. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.seanbowlz.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or seanbowlz.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.